Good afternoon, everyone. Certainly welcome. 40 degrees in April, end of April or middle of April. April is great, isn't it? Boy, that came quickly. It is interesting weather right now. I may need to have something to drink. I don't know where this came from, but certainly welcome. Yeah, whiskey would probably take care of the frog. Might put it out of its misery. Welcome, everyone. Certainly good to see everyone here. See some visitors that are longtime friends, visitors that I haven't met before. It's always great when we can get together on the Sabbath and just enjoy each other's company and be blessed by God. Have you ever stopped to think about the wide variety of experience that there is in any congregation within God's church? Anytime you get together with a group of God's people. Just in our congregation, the life experience that we have within the different members that are here is very wide. You know, think about where we live. There are people that live 100 miles north. There are people that live or come from 60 miles to the east, or at least people that live on the lakeshore, people that live in town here. And when you think about where we grew up, where we were born, it's even wider than that. You know, certainly out of this state. Think about how we live. You know, we have single people in the congregation. We have married couples. We have families. We have people that have been divorced. We have people that have lost one of their mates. Again, a wide range of experience that different people have in the congregation. And again, think about where we work. You know, there are factory workers. There are office workers. There are people who have farmed. There are people who work in retail. So people that work in the service industry, union and non-union. Again, just a wide variety of experience that we bring to the congregation. And it's amazing how many different backgrounds we have and all the different experiences that we've had over our lives. I don't know if you think about how little we actually have in common before God called us. How little there is. Very few of us grew up in the exact or very similar conditions, had the same experiences, knew the same people. There's certainly no one that I grew up with that's in the congregation, not as far as someone my age that I would have associated with. I think when you look at it just from a straight physical life experience, there's probably more differences than there are similarities between us. In this congregation and in any congregation. But we're here together. In spite of those things, we're here together. With those different personalities, with different jobs, with different ideas, to some degree different outlooks on life, we're here together. I think most of us wouldn't be friends, probably, if it weren't for God calling us together. We wouldn't have run into each other, wouldn't have associated with each other, wouldn't have had that opportunity. And now we have a chance to be more than just friends, to be family. And it all is due to one thing, to God's calling. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll read verse 4, Ephesians 4, 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One body, one spirit, one calling. That is what we share. That's the common link between all of us. But how are we supposed to make it work? As human beings, physical, with those different experiences, different thoughts, different ways we look at things, how do we take all of these separate parts and make them into something that is workable? We don't always agree. We don't always get along. There's times where sometimes we don't even like each other when it comes down to it. Sometimes that happens. But there is one key, one way that we are supposed to look to make it work. One thing we're supposed to remember that we've actually already touched on in that verse that we read. Let's turn to another verse in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll read verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We make it work because we are one body. We are supposed to be one body. And that example is given to us so that we can understand, so that we can look at what that means and help us to understand how we should relate to each other, how we should make it work. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the relationship between our physical body and our spiritual body. Look at a few lessons that we can learn, a few things we should be reminded of that will help us bring all of these separate parts into unity. And when we have those times where we don't really like each other, where we aren't in agreement, we can remember these things and remember what's important. There's one passage in the Bible that really goes into a lot of detail about this idea of being one body and what that means. And I'd like to read that right now. If you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Of course, I have the advantage of knowing that I was going to be reading this scripture and being able to choose a different version, a Bible version that I thought made it a little bit clearer. You get to read whatever Bible you brought with you. I'm going to read this scripture out of the New Literal Translation. You'll be able to follow along. It isn't that far, but it's a little bit more common language, and I think it helps us understand some of the concepts that are spoken of. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to begin reading in verse 12, and we'll read quite a bit of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 12:12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us were Jews. Some of us were Gentiles. Some of us were slaves. Some were free. We have all been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit, and we have all received the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, it does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I am not part of the body because I am only an ear and not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye. Then how would you hear? Or if your whole body was just one big ear, how would you smell anything? But God made our bodies with many parts, and He has put each part just where He wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. What a strange organization we would be if all of us were identical. How much less effective would we be if we all thought exactly the same, dressed the same, looked the same? For some of you that have been around for a long time, the term yellow pencil has a meaning. And that one time, that was kind of what everybody, there was almost an effort to shoot for that. We all look the same. We're all a yellow pencil in the same mold. But this scripture says that it's a little different than that. Let's continue in verse 20. Well, let's read verse 20 again. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those that we clothe with the greatest of care. So we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all of the members care for each other equally. If one part suffers, all of the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all of the parts are glad. Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Quite a bit to digest right there. We're going to break that down into a few sections of Scripture and look at some of the lessons that we can learn, some of the parallels that we should be able to apply, parallels between our physical body and this spiritual body that we're also a part of, things that we can learn. The first lesson that we're going to talk about today is that despite all of our differences, we do have a lot in common, or there are things, at least, that we have in common. If we read verses 12 and 13 again, it says that the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up only one body, so it is with the body of Christ. Some of us were Jews or Gentiles or slaves or free, but we all are baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit. We all have received the same Spirit. We all have the Holy Spirit, and that is the main common denominator that does help us become a united spiritual body, that helps us get past some of the differences that we have. How many different bodies do you have? One. How many spiritual bodies are there? One. Are you able to swap your body parts? Take your arm and put it down by your leg, stick it out of your ear. I mean, we know how foolish that is. No, Christ, and as it says in here, God created our parts for specific purposes. And he's called each one of us into the body for a purpose. There are things that these scriptures say, and the Bible says, that each of us contribute to the body. And there is a reason that each one of us are here specifically, not just as a general, well, we're all here as a group together. God called each one of us. And that's an important thing. Called us for a reason. And that Holy Spirit that we receive at baptism is the common denominator. And that is also the way that we do become and maintain our spiritual body, is through maintaining a strong tie with God and through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is, in a lot of ways, is like the nervous system in our human body. It's a means of communicating between the different parts of the body. It's a way that all of them are united to work together, so that when you walk, your body walks. Your legs don't, it isn't just your legs that are walking and the rest of your body is hanging back, laying back in bed. Until you get older, sometimes that happens. But generally, the general principle is when you walk, your whole body walks. The Holy Spirit does that for the body of Christ. And that's part of what we have to do as our part of that body, is to maintain that close tie and that strong link. So that when the body is supposed to be walking, we're there headed in the same direction. So that is the first thing to remember. We do have a common denominator, the Holy Spirit. When we disagree, when we're not getting along, if we can take a step back and remember that we're all called, remember the big picture, We all have the same desire, ultimately, when it comes to God and the family. We may have different ideas about how we're going about making it happen, but we have that Holy Spirit that does unite us. Another lesson that we can learn, and something that we should remember, is that while we do have that Holy Spirit in common, we are all different. We are all different. God talks about that difference in that passage that we read in 1 Corinthians. He talks about it in two different ways. He talks about how we view each other, how we should view those differences. Two different ways. Let's read verses 14 through 16 again. It says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. If the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye, does that make it any less a part of the body? There is a tendency at times for us spiritually, as related to the spiritual body, to view someone else's differences as making them less a part of the body. To use those differences as an excuse to see them as less important or less a part of the body. And yet the scripture we just read says, just because you're not an ear, that doesn't mean you're not a part of the body. There are those who think that only certain forms of service are of value, or there have been at times. There are those who have thought that the only valuable parts of the body were those who were up in front of people all the time and doing something that way. Or the ones who were closest to the ministers made them the most important parts of the body. But again, that's not what we're told in the Bible. That's human reasoning. Every part of the body has value. And again, looking at our physical body, there isn't a part that you would cut off or cut out willingly, unless it's causing you pain, and then you'd rather have it healed than get rid than cut it out. God says every part of the body has a purpose. And I hope that if there's only one thing you take away from this message, it's that you remember that every part of the body has a purpose. And it has a value as far as God is concerned. The body needs every one of us to function as best as it can. When we step away, when we break that contact, when we don't allow ourselves to function as a part of the body suffers. And it doesn't matter who you are, which member you are, what your name is, what your position is, what your title might be, what you do, every one of us are necessary. Verses 20 through 22 talk about this again in just a little bit different way. We'll read those again. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some of the parts that seem weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Some of the parts that seem the weakest, that seem the least important, are the most necessary. Think about that when you evaluate someone, when you think about someone else and their position within the body of Christ. I always thought it was cool when there were ordinations, and this only would occur when you were doing it, ordaining deacons or deaconesses, because it only worked up to this point. But when someone was ordained that wasn't the person up here speaking, or wasn't the person that had the titles, or was in charge of a million different crews, but the guy that, or the woman that was helping the widows, you know, that was just by himself, taking care of things, serving but not looking for glory. And that was those people were the ones that were finally ultimately recognized and ordained. All of us are important. And you don't need some title behind your name to be an important and useful part of the body. What we need to remember is that each one of us chooses how we serve, generally chooses how we serve within the church. Either it's something we like to do, something that we were interested in, something we volunteered for. That service becomes important to us, generally. And we begin to think that because that's important to us, it's just as important to everybody else, and anyone who doesn't value that service has something wrong with them. Or anyone who isn't serving in exactly the same way as we are is, just doesn't quite get this whole body thing. Doesn't get the service thing quite as well. But again, that's not the way it works. We're all here as a part of the body, serving and helping. And one of the things that has been exciting for me over the last year and a half, is to see the way that everyone has been pitching in and serving in different ways in the congregation. I think for a while we went through a period where we weren't doing that. There were certain people that were serving, certain people that felt that they couldn't serve or weren't allowed to serve, or for whatever reason didn't. But to see everyone fill a role, to take a part in things, to realize that we don't always have to just ask someone to do something because all of us are actually looking to see what needs to be done and taking care of it. That is what a functioning spiritual body should do. And I hope everyone else has recognized that as well because and enjoys it because it's a great thing. And it hasn't always been that way within God's church. And it probably is something that we actually have to fight for a little bit as we go along. A third point that I'd like to have us look at in relation to the scriptures dealing with the body are the scriptures that it talks about, where it talks about the weakest parts of the body being those who should receive and many times who need the most attention and should receive the most attention. Again, I'll read verses 23 through 26. And the parts that we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect the eyes of others whose parts are from the eyes of others, those parts that should not be seen, while other parts do not receive this special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care is given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members so that all the members care for each other equally. This is completely against human nature. What God just told us right there is completely against our human nature. Human nature doesn't like weakness. Doesn't like someone who's a little odd and different. Our human nature leads us to want to stay away from someone who makes us feel a little uncomfortable. Or who's going through problems, who has troubles. And yet, as part of a spiritual body, that isn't the way we should be. And we can look to our physical body for that lesson. When you have a part of your body that's causing you pain, say you have an ingrown toenail. That was the idea I came up with. Where it pains you, is your solution to cut it off? Or is your solution to fix it, to heal it, to do what needs to give it the extra care, the extra attention that's needed until it's back to functioning the way that it should be? So many times our reaction to people is the opposite of that. The Bible says that when someone is suffering within the body of Christ, when someone is weak, when someone is causing us discomfort, if we're being led by the Holy Spirit, we go to that person, we talk to that person, we work with that person. We force ourselves to do what our human nature doesn't want to do. And God actually says that He puts weaker members within the body so that we learn to take care of each other, because it builds the harmony in the body. That it makes the body more harmonious, that we learn to work and look out for each other. So again, weaker members in the body, we're told God puts them in the body. It isn't an accident, it isn't a mistake. It's God's purpose to see how we respond to it. There was a lesson that I learned a while ago dealing with an injury from my own body. I used to love, well, still do love, just used to be able to play sports. Don't get the chance to play as much anymore. And physically can't play as much anymore. But there was a time that where I loved it. I loved to be able to run, loved to be able to jump, loved to be able to do anything athletic. And at one point I tore up my knee, tore an ACL. And I went through all the normal rehab, did all the things that you're supposed to do, did all the exercises, was a good boy, wore a brace, and did all those things like I was supposed to. And eventually got to the point where they said, "You're good. You're good to go. You should be able to play." And I was almost able to do everything that I could do before. But the first time that I went to play basketball and went in for a layup and thought that, well, I should actually leave the ground when I go for this layup, my body said, "Nah, it's not going to happen." And I basically just kind of went, "Bleh." I lived with that, went for a long time, and I asked a lot of the doctors, "What's going on? You said I'm healed. You said everything is good. I'm back to normal. I'm strong. Why can't I jump?" And they really didn't have any good answer to it to me until I actually talked to a physical therapist at one time. And they finally were the one that told me, "Well, during your surgery, the doctor cut the nerves in your knee. And because the doctor cut the nerves to your knee, your brain can't tell where your knee is anymore. And the brain senses the position of your knee and your foot and everything else when it decides whether you're going to be able to jump or not." So my brain said, "I don't know where your knee is. I'm not letting you jump." And that condition is really similar to some of the things that we go through as a spiritual body. If the Holy Spirit isn't connecting all of us together, there's parts of the body Christ knows aren't ready to jump yet. There's parts of the body Christ says, "Well, I can't really communicate with them the way that I need to really make this body go in the direction that I want it to, in the way that I want it to." So it's important for each one of us to remember that we are a part of a body, that we need that nervous system that's supplied by the Holy Spirit connecting us all so that we can work together and can move together. There's going to be a time, there already is a time, where I think Christ is ready for the body to jump, but not necessarily are all the parts of the body ready to follow. The human body is a great thing. It says it's wonderfully and fearfully made. But the body of Christ is far more wonderful, far more eternal. And it's something that's going to mean something to each one of us far after our physical bodies are long gone. We spend time taking care of our physical body. We spend time trying to keep it functioning. Do we spend as much time with our spiritual body? Making sure that our part that we play, that our connection to that body is functioning as well. So let's think about the lessons that we've talked about today. Let's apply them in how we deal with each other. Because we do have conflicts. It's natural. It's normal. It happens. It's happened recently in this congregation. It will happen in the future in this congregation. And the conflicts aren't fun, but how we deal with them is really more important. That we learn to be that complete body that God wants us to be. It is a great blessing to be a part of the body of Christ. So let's focus on the things that we have in common as we worship together, as we work together. Let's accept the fact that there are differences between us, that no one is going to be exactly like you are or like I am. And rather than look down at each other for the differences, learn to work with them so that they don't divide us. Don't let our differences divide us. Do our part to strengthen our tie with each other, with God, with Christ, through that Holy Spirit. Help lift each other up when we're weak and when we're suffering. Make sure that that line of communication between God the Father and you is active and it's working. So that when God says, when Christ says, I want you to go in this direction, you're not floating around back here while the rest of the body is going this way. So let's make sure. Let's make sure that we're doing all we can to be a valuable part of the body of Christ.